You're listening to the Rawha, daily guidance for seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani, who will be covering Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 hadith of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, as well as Imam Zarnuji's guidance for seekers of knowledge regarding the ways of seeking knowledge. Ta'lim al-Mut'allim, Turuq al-Ta'allim.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad, Habibi Rabbil Alameen. وعلى آله وأصحابه والتابعين والتابعين لهم بإحسان وهدى إلى يوم الدين. الحمد لله. We're continuing to look at 40 hadiths on the virtues of Iman and Islam by the great scholar of the 20th century, one of the great distinguished scholars who stood up for much that was being lost in the modern age, Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani rahimahullahu ta'ala. He wrote this amazing compilation of 40 sets of 40 hadiths from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have reached hadith number 5. عن معاذ رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قلت يا رسول الله أخبرني بعمل يدخلني الجنة ويباعدني عن من النار. So معاذ بن جبل رضي الله تعالى عنه, one of the companions very dear to the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, of whom the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to directly, يا معاذ والله إني لا أحبك, O معاذ, by Allah I love you. And it's the nature of love to give to the one one loves. So the Prophet ﷺ said to advise him not to leave saying after every prayer, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. O Allah, assist me in remembering you and in being grateful to you and in worshipping you most beautifully after every prayer. So here, Sayyidina Mu'adh said to the Prophet ﷺ that, O Messenger of Allah, inform me of an action that will make me enter paradise and distance me from the fire. Right? So they appreciated who the Prophet ﷺ is and what he has come with. Right? That the Prophet ﷺ has come with that which connects one to eternal felicity. Right? All you have to do is to listen and follow. Inform me of an action that would make me enter paradise and would distance me from the fire. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام لقد سألت عن أمر عظيم. Truly you have asked about a tremendous matter, a great, great matter. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَسِيرٌ عَلَى مَنْ يَسَّرَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ. But truly it is easy for whomever Allah makes easy. And this is the way we approach, that we seek that which deserves to be sought, however great it may be. And we recognize that it is easy for whomever Allah makes easy. So we ask Allah to grant it, to facilitate it, because Allahumma la sahla illa ma ja'altahu sahla. O Allah, nothing is easy except what you make easy, as the Prophet ﷺ taught us to pray. وَأَنْتَ تَجْعَلُ الْحَزْنَ إِذَا مَا شِئْتَ سَهْلًا. And you make the intensely difficult, if you wish, easy. The Prophet ﷺ explained, تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكْ بِهِ شَيْئًا. تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا. You worship Allah and do not associate partners with Him. وَتُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَتُؤْتِ الزَّكَاةِ. And you establish the prayer and you give zakat. وَتَصُومُ رَمَضَانَ. And you fast Ramadan. وَتَحُجُّ الْبَيْتِ. And you perform Hajj of the house. The hadith is related by Imam Ahmad and Imam al-Tirmidhi. So what does this have to do with the virtue of Iman and Islam? that what is the consequence of submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The consequence of submission to Allah is for a brief period of time, this life, which seems long, but it's كَلَمْحِ الْبَصَرِ, like the blinking of an eye in comparison with eternity. So this accepting to obey, this accepting to submit, what is its consequence? The entrance to paradise and to be distanced from the fire, right? Which is why Ibn Ata'illah said, أَوْجَبَ عَلَيْكَ وُجُودَ خِدْمَتِهِ وَمَا أَوْجَبَ عَلَيْكَ إِلَّا دُخُولَ جَنَّتِهِ. He made it incumbent for you to have service of him. And in reality, he only made incumbent for you to enter paradise. Yeah, the ruling of entering paradise is that it's obligatory. Meaning it's obligatory for you to do what will make you enter paradise. Right? And everything that is obligatory, that's its purpose. And of course, the hadith continues to highlight the various acts. It's one of the hadiths of the 40 Nawawi as well. You can find it there. عن ابن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أمرت أن أقاتل الناس حتى يشهدوا أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله ويقيم الصلاة ويؤتوا الزكاة فإذا فعلوا ذلك عصموا مني دماءهم وأموالهم إلا بحق الإسلام وحسابهم على الله رواه البخاري ومسلم. Ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, relates that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I was commanded to fight the people. And the people here, annas and uqatil, to struggle against them. Annas, al-Qurtubi, the hadith commentator, who is not the mufassir, in his mufhim, fi sharh Mukhtasar Sahih Muslim, he explains, and others do as well, that the al here is referential. I have been commanded to fight the people, right? It is a referential al, right? Which, and it's in the particular sense, it is referring to the Quraysh who were fighting him at that time. I have been commanded to fight them until, right? And uqatil. قاتل يقاتل مقاتلة. The فعل pattern has a sense of reciprocity. To, you know, I have been commanded to fight back the people, meaning who fight me. قاتل الذين يقاتلونكم, right? Fight those who fight you, and you, if people are fighting you, continue to fight them until either you win, which means they lose, or they stop, or they enter Islam. Okay? So that's the contest. It's not an أقتل الناس, and it does not say I've been commanded to kill people. قاتل is not قتل. قاتل is to strive against the people, meaning I've been commanded to fight against those who fight us, until they bear witness that there's no God but Allah. So if they continue fighting, you continue fighting back. But one of the ways that you can stop a fight is the one who's fighting you, they bear witness, then you have no right to kill them. Until they bear witness that there's no God but Allah, and that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, and that they establish prayer and give zakat. And if they do so, they have protected from me their blood and their wealth, except by the rights of Islam, such as if they commit a crime, etc., or one of the capital punishments, and their reckoning is with Allah. And this is related by Bukhari and Muslim. So this is one of the abused hadiths, right? That, and sometimes even in general translations, that I've been commanded to whatever, But uqatil, it's very clear, and that's why the early Muslims say al-hadith mazallatun illa lil-fuqaha. Hadith can cause one to trip up, except for those of understanding. Which is why things like this have to be conveyed by clarification, and by clarification not on the basis of whim, but on the basis of learned opinion. And this was never understood. And this and the shahadatul waqi' is that the Prophet did not, his inclination was to peace, wasn't to war. Right? Even when he had reason to fight back. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. عن عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من مات وهو يعلم أن لا إله إلا الله دخل الجنة رواه مسلم. سيدنا عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه said that the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said whoever dies knowing that there is no God but God enters paradise. أن يعلم أي يصدق. To know mean to confirm and recognize as true. Oh, yuqin, or you know, who knows? I who is certain, who has certitude that there is no God but Allah, or knows, that they accept this truth. So whoever dies in a state of faith that there's no God but Allah enters paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala realize us in that meaning. And hadith number 8, عن جابر رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثنتاني موجبتان. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, there's two things that make necessary. And the Prophet ﷺ liked intriguing his companions. قال رجل يا رسول الله ما الموجبتان. A man said, O Messenger of Allah, what are the two things that make necessary? قال من مات يشرك بالله شيئا دخل النار ومن مات لا يشرك بالله شيئا دخل الجنة. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever dies associating with Allah anything enters the fire, and whoever dies not associating with Allah anything enters paradise. Related by Imam Muslim. And associating something with Allah is to worship other than Allah, to affirm any of the meanings of divinity to other than Allah, to believe that there is another who has the meaning of divinity in themselves, or who has any of the attributes of the divine, or who has any actions of the divine. And what is the divine act? It is to create. And the divine act is creating. But at the same time, of course, and we'll see this very clearly later in the hadiths, right, there is a sacredness to the people of La ilaha illallah. Right, that actions, right, action, the ambit of actions is fiqh. And actions are a matter of fiqh, not a you know, the belief relates to what is within your heart. Right, so it is a simple error of aqidah that whoever does such and such has committed shirk. Well, we have to be careful, right? Because shirk relates to belief, right? An action may indicate shirk, but then we have to be clear, does it truly indicate shirk? Right? And is that the only possibility? Right? So one has to be very, very careful. And you have to be very wary of those who loosely throw around accusations of shirk, because it is, basically, if you say someone has shirk, you're saying they're a person of hell. Like to say someone's a fornicator, call them anything. It is easier, right? Imam Fakhruddin al-Razi, was one of the great demolition men of Islam, and many of the sects, particularly of the literalists and anthropomorphists and others of his time, they couldn't refute him. So what they started to do, they started pinning insults on the minbar. So one day he was going to give his lesson, he took some of these insults and he read them. They're saying some bad things about my wife. If these are true, may Allah forgive her. And they're saying this about my children. If it's true, may Allah guide him. They're saying this about my servants. You know what servants do. May Allah guide them all. Says, at the very least, none of them say what these people say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He is like His creation. And this, and this, and this. And they attribute imperfections to our Lord and Creator. Right? So, he was not a good person to pick a fight with, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So we're going to also look at the work Ta'lim al-Mutallim. And we stopped. Where did we stop? What? Okay. So we're still in the section in this work, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim, instructing the student on the ways of learning, on having high resolve. So he says, وَالرَّأْسُ فِي تَحْصِيلِ الْأَشْيَاءِ الْجِدُّ وَالْهِمَّةُ الْعَالِيَةِ says, the pinnacle, literally the head in attaining all matters, right? And the head is what counts. You could say, the what counts, right? You say, that's a person, but some, their head is off. Say, no, it's not. Like, the whole body is there except the head, right? A person is their head, right? So ras, you know, it's a pinnacle, but also the essence or the key, the basis of attaining all matters is al-jiddu wal-himmatul aliyah, is striving and high resolve. فَمَنْ كَانَتْ هِمَّتُهُ حفظ جميع كتب محمد بن الحسن رحمه الله تعالى واقترن بذلك الجد والمواظبة فالظاهر أنه يحفظ أكثرها أو نصفها. So he says, so for example, if someone directs their resolve to memorize all the works of Muhammad ibn al-Hasan al-Shaybani, the second of the two main students of Imam Abu Hanifa, then, and so this is their resolve. And this is connected with jidd, with striving, wal muwadaba, and consistency. They would appear that they would memorize, if not all of them, then most of them, or half of them. Right? They'll attain something. فَأَمَّا إِذَا كَانَتْ لَهُ هِمَّةٌ عَالِيَةٌ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ جِدٌّ أَوْ كَانَ لَهُ جِدٌّ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ هِمَّةٌ عَالِيَةٌ فَلَا يَحْصُلُ لَهُ الْعِلْمُ إِلَّا الْقَلِيلِ. However, if one has a high resolve, but they don't have striving, or they have striving, but they don't have high resolve, then they won't attain knowledge except a little. So you need both. You need to have high aspirations, and you have to have the suitable striving. مَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةِ وَسَعَ لَهَا سَعْيَهَا. Whoever wants the hereafter and strives for it with its striving. This is a guarantee from the Qur'an. كَانَ سَعْيُهُ مَشْكُورًا. Their striving will be recognized. It will be recognized and fulfilled. And this is, of course, the high resolve, you know, if you haven't reached, you don't know where you can reach, which is why it's so important to consult. Why it's so important to consult. And also sometimes people have false humility. One of my friends went, I was with him, and Imam Zayd went to Sheikh Abd al-Rahman al-Shaghuri, and my friend said to Sheikh Abd al-Rahman al-Shaghuri, Sayyidi, I don't feel that I have the sincerity to be a student of knowledge. So it would be enough for me to learn what I need in my own life and maybe to teach my family. And Sheikh Abd al-Rahman stared at him as if, like suddenly he could no longer see him. And he's like, no, it's not like that. No. La. And he couldn't speak very much. What did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to us? What did He teach us to make dua? وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِشْ And make us of the mindful servants their foremost. Imama. Says, مَا قَالْ خُدَّامَ He said, He didn't say make us servants of your foremost servants. Okay? So make us the foremost of them. Okay? And that's the sunnah, to seek ma'ali al-umur, to seek the highest of matters. Right? And in our times particularly, and particularly with knowledge, this is very important. Right? That one have highest any aspiration, but then combine it with the striving, and by leaving that which negates that striving. And then he gives an example. He says, وَذَكَرَ الشَّيْخُ الْأَجَلُّ الْإِمَامُ الْأُسْتَاذُ رَضِيُّ الدِّينِ النَّيْسَابُورِ So this great scholar, rahimahullah, said, فِي كِتَابِ مَكَارِمِ الْأَخْلَاقِ In his work on the noble traits of character, أَنَّ ذَا الْقَرْنَيْنِ لَمَّا أَرَادَ أَنْ يُسَافِرَ لِيَسْتَوْلِيَ عَلَى الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ شَاوَرَ الْحُكَمَاءِ فِي ذَلِكَ So this great scholar mentions in the book Makarim al-Akhlaq that Dhul Qarnayn, when he was going to head forth to conquer the East and the West, right? And we don't know historically, specifically who Dhul Qarnayn was. Some people thought that it was Alexander the Great, right? And there are people who held that, but Allah, but it would not appear to be historically the case, because of the qualities mentioned about Dhul Qarnayn in the Quran, they do not correspond both the historical narrative nor the description of his righteousness and virtue, that it would not appear to accord. So he consulted Dhul Qarnayn, it is said he consulted the people of wisdom regarding that. وقال كيف أسافر لهذا القدر من الملك said how can I travel that extent of dominion فإن الدنيا قليلة فانية وملك الدنيا أمر حقير said because how can I direct myself just to this dominion because the world is paltry and perishing. Qalila and faniya, perishing. وَمُلْكُ الدُّنْيَا أَمْرٌ حَقِيرٌ And worldly rule is something insignificant. حَقِير It's something little. وَلَيْسَ هَذَا مِنْ عُلُوِ الْهِمَّةِ And he said, and this is not from high resolve. ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ The one mentioned in the Qur'an, in Surah Al-Kahf, he was a righteous servant of Allah. But the people of wisdom said to him, فَقَالَ الْحُكَمَاءُ سَافِرْ لِيَحْصُرَ لَكَ مُلْكُ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ They advise him, travel, so that you attain the authority in this life and in the next. How? By intending to be a just and beneficial ruler. Right? قَالَ ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ So ذُو الْقَرْنَيْنِ said, هَذَا أَحْسَنُ That this is better. Okay? And this is the benefit of, this is why it's come in hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, شاوروا الحكماء. Okay? Consult the wise. That's what makes better. And الحكيم من يرى إلى عواقب الأمور. Right? The wise person is the one who can see the consequences of matters. So one is able to make better choices. And then he quotes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's words, وَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُحِبُّ مَعَالِيَ الْأُمُورِ وَيَكْرَهُ سَفَاسِفَهَا. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, truly, Allah loves the most high of matters and dislikes lowly matters. He is one who is described, as we'll see later tonight, إِنَّ أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْكَوْثَرِ. We have granted you complete fullness. Right? In every meaning, the Prophet ﷺ was granted its fullest. And in every aspiration, he was granted its most complete. Right? And that's the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Right? And whoever seeks the hereafter should do deeds that are truly salih, right? That they're truly good, right? That have complete goodness in them.
وَقِيلَ لَا تَعْجَلْ بِأَمْرِكَ وَاسْتَدِمْهُ فَمَا صَلَّ عَصَاكَ كَمُسْتَدِيمِ.
Right? And it has been said regarding this matter, okay, that do not be hasty in your matters, but rather make them constant, because nothing will straighten your staff like consistency. And that if you have a stick that's slightly bent, you won't straighten it by just applying pressure once. Okay, let's straighten it at once. It'll snap. You want to straighten a bent stick, and nothing will straighten your stick like pressure applied consistently. So you say, okay, I need to straighten this, and you apply consistent pressure to it, and you leave it, right, in that consistent state, it'll be straightened.
قال أبو حنيفة لأبي يوسف رحمه الله تعالى.
This is one of the coolest things. Both Abu Yusuf and Imam Muhammad had very challenging life circumstances when they came to study with Abu Hanifa. But they both stuck with it. And they stuck with it in amazing ways. So Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, had a real personality, radiallahu ta'ala. He said to Abu Yusuf, may Allah have mercy on both of them,
كُنْتَ بَلِيدًا فَأَخْرَجْتُكَ فَأَخْرَجَتْكَ الْمُوَاظَبَةُ.
Okay? He said, you used to be dumb, and you're taken out of it by consistency. Okay? Of course, meaning that no one's born smart just like that. Okay? So that you are slow, but your consistency took you out from it. And Abu Yusuf's consistency was amazing. When a child of his died in infancy, and he attended the beginning of the washing of his own child, and then he said, can you please complete it, because I don't want to be late for the first row of Abu Hanifa's class. They used to, because the students who were serious used to get there early to make sure they sat in the front row, because everyone wanted to sit there. The students who were most serious would get there first, so they're already seated in that place before Abu Hanifa got there. Okay? So he didn't want to miss sitting in the first row, because that's where he was supposed to be. Rahimahullah ta'ala. So that consistency, he said, فَأَخْرَجَتْكَ الْمُوَاظَبَةِ. And then he says, Rahimahullah ta'ala, وَإِيَّاكَ وَالْكَسَلِ. He says, and beware of laziness. فَإِنَّهُ شُؤْمٌ وَآفَةٌ عَظِيمًا. For if it is despicable and a terrible harm. آفة is a harm that befalls something. And laziness arises from not having clarity of purpose. What if you don't know what you're doing and why you're doing it, then the act of doing it
will not make a lot of sense. And most people spend much of their life mired in mediocrity because they don't know why they're doing it. Even the things they take on the side, they just go through the motions. Why? Because they don't have any high aim in it, which is against the sunnah. وقال الشيخ الإمام أبو نصر السفار الأنصاري رحمه الله تعالى يا نفس يا نفس لا ترخي عن العمل في البر والعدل والإحسان في مهل لكل ذي عمل في الخير مغتبط وفي ملأ وفي بلاء وشؤم كل ذي كسل. Said, O self, do not become lax in acting, in virtue and justice and in excellence. You know, do not take things easy. Because everyone who acts on good is envied, and in tribulation and sad state are all those who are lazy. Right? And in tribulation and sad state are all those who are lazy. And that's one of the keys, that there is no substitute for hard work. There is no substitute for hard work. Right? And that's one of the great lessons. Even now, like all these people who write about the idea of, you know, mastery requiring 10,000 hours, or it requiring this idea of, you know, the consistent mentored practice, right, is what leads to mastery. Right? Mastery requires a high aim and required mentored practice, right? And it comes, right? And it comes. Some people may appear to find it easier, but that can be a fitna for them to do. So then the author quotes some more poetry. He says, قال المصنف وقد اتفق لي في هذا المعنى دعي نفس التكاسل والتواني وإلا فاقنعي في ذا الهوان فلم أرى الكسالى الحظ يعطى سوى ندب وحرمان الأمان. Says, leave, O self, laziness and putting things off, or otherwise be content in this abasement, in this shameful state. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Right? One is in utter loss. For I have not seen the lazy being granted any portion of good. Rather, all they have is remorse and losing out on their aspirations. So he continues on this, on how one addresses laziness in the next section. But we'll just look at the next line of poetry. It says, وَقِيلَ كَمْ مِنْ حَيَاءٍ وَكَمْ مِنْ حَيَاءٍ وَكَمْ عَجْزٍ وَكَمْ نَدَمٍ جَمٍ تولد للإنسان من كسل إياك عن كسل في البحث عن شبه فما علمت وما قد شذ عنك سلي. Says, how much shame, right? And haya means modesty, but also has a sense of shame, right? How much sense of shame, and how much incapacity, you feel ajz, just incapable, and how much sorrow. So how much shame and inability and sorrow completely is born to a person from laziness. Beware of laziness in research regarding shubah, unclear matters. So whatever you learn, then whatever you come to learn, you've learned it. And what you weren't able to attain, then ask about it. Okay? Like, don't be lazy in looking into the shubah here, al-amr al-mushtabah, things that are unclear. And if you come to understand it yourself, ay, fabiha, then you've understood it. And if you haven't, right, mashadha, that which was out of reach, then ask about it. And do not be shy of asking. Or otherwise, you will. That's a source of shame. وَقَدْ قِيلَ الْكَسَلُ مِنْ قِلَّةِ التَّأَمُّلِ فِي مَنَاقِبِ الْعِلْمِ وَفَضَائِلِهِ. Says, and it is said that laziness is from lack of reflecting on the virtues of knowledge and its rewards, okay? On the distinctions of knowledge and its virtues. So this is one of the things that one should always look at: the great virtues of knowledge. And why one seeks knowledge. That's something one should always go back to. Right? But not just to read about, but to reflect on it. And related to that, to always be looking at what are the adab of knowledge. Right? Because the adab, the highest of the adab, of course, is the intention in it, which is ikhlas. Because knowledge, Al-Ghazali says this, ibadatu sir. Knowledge, beneficial knowledge, is the worship of your very innermost. Right? Because what makes you human is the capacity to know. And beneficial knowledge is is that which gives you the capacity to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he gives guidance on how one directs oneself to these qualities, and how one reflects on the virtues of knowledge. And he gives some extensive encouragement in that regards. So we'll pause there. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help Seekers Hub give light to millions around the world by supporting us through monthly donations by going to seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the US and Canada.